This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
It's time to get intimate with Checkpoint Intimate.
Yes, you are here with Elliot on behalf of Checkpoint on Joy, and I'm currently talking to Jacob Laney, who is a video game developer and songwriter slash producer. He also goes by the handle Monster Mansion and is about to release an EP and a video game on the same day, both by the name of Video World. Jacob, thank you so much for joining me.
You're so welcome. Thank you for introducing me. You make me sound like I do a million things, so
well,
I'm totally fine with that.
You definitely do two things,
and you do two things
way better than I could ever do those two things, so we're really happy to have you here. In fact, we've played through your game Video World. It's a small game, but it's absolutely endearing, and I'd love you to share a bit about it to our audience. What is Video World?
Sure. Video World is a Halloween synth-pop musical set in a video store in the 90s. So what that actually means is that you play as a video store employee. You're tasked with turning a video store into a Halloween sale event so you can get a promotion. And you do this with the help of a magical and very punny pumpkin who helps you sing songs and turn it into a special, magical, musical place.
Yeah, so the pumpkin is basically teaching you songs from your future, right? These are songs that the character is going to write in the future, and within the game, you're able to sing through them. I do wonder, like, instantly I thought, okay, so the main protagonist here, this must be Jacob, right? This is you put into a video game? Does that sound right?
That's very, very observant of you. It's definitely, the main character is definitely a strong, I guess, reflection of me, or maybe who I want to be. Definitely different elements kind of from my life and how I see myself.
Right. So did you used to work in a video store back in the 90s?
I actually didn't.
No.
But I did work at a cinema, so it's kind of similar.
Yeah,
but I used to go to video stores all the time and had lots of friends that worked there. So they're just like a really safe, nice, nostalgic place for me.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And I think the game does a fantastic job of getting that kind of cozy nostalgia pushing through to the player as well. And obviously we all reminisce of the times when you'd go to a video store for your weekend entertainments, and that might be a time of the past, but it's still something really cool that you managed to capture within the game. And the other element of the game that we haven't talked too much about yet is the fact that it contains all your original music that's actually releasing as part of your EP on the exact same day as the game releases. How did these two things come together for you?
For this game, I think it was a long time coming to kind of get to this point. Music has been the main thing in my life since I was, I don't know, 11 or 12, and I became obsessed with Evanescence
and other
bands like that. Exactly. What a time to be alive, the early 2000s. and I just kind of fumbled my way through being a musician for a lot of years. I thought I'd have a go at video game development, but to get into the music side of it, compose music for games, but I just fell in love with actually making games, and I saw it as an opportunity to kind of extend the world of the music and express myself in a really different way. You know, like I can write a song and it has my voice and it's about my life, you know, but I can't show so many elements that kind of surround that. You know, there's only so many lyrics you can fit into three and a half minutes. Yeah, Video World is kind of one of my first forays into just trying to, you know, match music and songs specifically with lyrics together with a video game.
Yeah, and it's quite unique in that respect as well. I know that rhythm games often, like, I love rhythm games just as a genre, but probably one of the biggest and easiest critiques of rhythm games is that it's, unless you've got a lot of money to spend on music licensing, it's really hard to get, you know, noteworthy songs within your game that, you know, the kind of catchy melodic music that you'd expect from traditional radio play, and yet here you are doing both at once. It seems like a really good workaround that only very few people probably have the talent to achieve.
Sure. Yeah, I think there's a lot to be said about how games like Rock Band and Guitar Hero impacted the world. Like, they were huge, and I assume they're still really popular now.
Because
they have that element of popular songs in there. You know, I remember, again, being a teenager with, you know, me and all my emo friends, like, singing on Guitar Hero trying to do the Avenged Sevenfold solos. You know, it's a really special thing to be able to connect popular music with rhythm games. And then there's been a lot of kind of other things beyond that. Beat Saber, I think, again, being one that, you know, allows you to bring those two worlds together a bit. But certainly being able to do it all by myself is, I don't know, exciting and special. And I just love, you know, having the creative control over a full project,
yeah,
including all of the elements. So it's really nice to be able to do that.
No, absolutely. In fact, I mean, the closest game I can think of that does anything similar to this would be a game by the name of Sayonara Wild Hearts, which similarly kind of presented this pop album as a gameplay piece. Did you ever play that game or take any influence from that or anything else?
I haven't had a chance to play it yet, but like you said, their tagline is literally a pop album video game. And I've listened to the soundtrack, and it's really, really lovely to hear that there's kind of other creators out there thinking in a similar way,
mm-hmm,
of bringing this kind of pop music world into video games, and giving the audience, you know, kind of the best of both worlds. So, yeah, I really should take the time and sit down and actually play through it because it looks beautiful.
Oh, it's fantastic. Yeah, definitely well worth your time. I do wonder, though, that, you know, most creatives, they kind of find one passion and hone in on it and they chase that target for a while. But obviously you're here trying to do both game development and music production at the same time, and you're doing a really good job of it. But would you ever focus in on one over the other, or are these two big chunks of your life that you just need to follow both passions?
That's a really good question, actually, and it's often been a critique both from myself to myself and from other people as well, particularly, you know, when I was younger, people really saying, look, if you're going to have any kind of success with your creative pursuits, you need to just find one thing and just do that for a really long time and become the best at that. And I kind of always found, even within music on its own, that just doing one thing all the time and not really doing much else, it didn't really give me the satisfaction that I was looking for with creative pursuits. So when it comes to, you know, focusing on either games or music, I think it would be too much of a hard choice. And what I love is the combination of them both. You know, I'll spend part of my week doing some design and 3D modeling and programming or whatever I need to do. And then I might get blocked on it, or I might just get sick of it. And then I can jump over to music for a couple of days. And having that freedom is really special. There's kind of two different elements as well. I find music is much more ambiguous of what is good. And I guess you could say the same in games, but at least with kind of coding, it either works or it doesn't work. So there, for me, it's kind of logical versus creative, even though they kind of both do a little bit of each. But yeah, I just love this kind of this middle ground that I found.
Yeah, that totally makes sense. I think there must be some benefits there to having both of those processes, you know, running in tandem, and you're able to jump from one to the other. I'm sure at moments, you know, you can be writing a piece of music and get inspired by, you know, a possibility that lends for a video game, or even vice versa. And, you know, I, even just as a writer, you know, as my own creative outlet, I run into writer's block all the time. And to have something else there to say, you know what, I'm going to stop this one creative endeavor and move into this other territory, that must be quite freeing. I'm quite jealous, actually, that you have these two talents that you're able to pursue at the same time.
Oh, thanks. Thanks for that. And yeah, writer's block or any kind of block stopping you from doing your creative thing can be frustrating. And even though they, you know, music and games kind of supports those things for me, I still definitely get stuck and have those moments where I go, nah, it all sucks. I can't do anything. I'm terrible. So yeah, it happens to the best of us.
Yeah, for sure. Your game also, you know, it's not just this rhythm game. There's some narrative in there as well. We've already kind of talked a little bit about Pumpkin Jill and some of the punnery that is found within your game. But there's also a bit of a relationship that starts developing between, you know, another character within the game too. And I don't want to spoil too much here, but what is your take on kind of presenting these relationships or narratives or character development within video games? Is it something you always wanted to make sure was included within any of your projects?
I mean, certainly character development and showing how characters transform and evolve is just a really important part of storytelling. So that aspect is absolutely something that I've wanted to do in games and tell my own stories or the stories that I want to tell. But in terms of incorporating relationships, and in this case, a queer relationship, I guess, you know, just like the main character is kind of a reflection of me, the stories that I want to tell and the relationships I want to show are also are a reflection of me or things I think about and care about. So having games to be able to express things in my life that I think about just kind of is quite natural to me. So it makes sense to include relationships, to include drama, or to include, you know, anything that's been a part of my life or is a hope or a dream is, yeah, really important and is really natural for me to want to include.
Yeah, that makes sense. And, you know, as a, you know, you're a queer person, I'm a queer person, and it is really nice to uncover a queer relationship within video games because we don't see it that often. It's always noteworthy every time it happens because, you know, how many queer protagonists are there really out there in video game land? Probably not nearly as many as there should be. So it's awesome that you were thinking about that or at least wanting to represent yourself within the game. And I guess I'm wondering if you felt that need for more representation or that desire to be part of the people helping to push forward queer representation within video games.
Yeah, it is definitely important to me. But I will say that kind of what's more exciting or more important to me is giving, just knowing that I'm giving people, you know, like me or that, you know, want queer romances and don't have that kind of media elsewhere, something to get excited about. For me, it's not necessarily about showing representation and, you know, proving to the world that these kind of people and relationships exist, although that still feels important to me. But I'm more excited about, you know, being able to give people that opportunity to play a game and have that little kind of butterfly in their tummy of like, oh my God, are these characters going to get together? You know, when I was growing up, I still felt that, but it was always between straight characters.
Mm-hmm.
And I often identified more with the woman in a lot of situations. So, yeah, being able to kind of see myself and, you know, have butterflies in my tummy playing a game that has that with someone that I can more closely identify with is exciting and important. So I think lots of games could certainly lend themselves more to it. And I hope that me making them, you know, kind of helps make that happen.
Yeah, absolutely. I also couldn't help but notice at the end of the game, there's kind of a bit of a teaser for more to come. Now, obviously, choose your words carefully. I'm sure you can talk about some stuff and can't talk about other things, but is there more for Video World in the future?
Yes and no, I want to say. So there is a direct continuation on from Video World, which is a game called I Love You Tokyo. It kind of steps away from Video World a lot. A Video World is kind of very focused on this magical self-contained world, whereas the sequel I Love You Tokyo is much more about, I would say it's more of a drama that kind of takes itself a little bit more seriously, is also about relationships and kind of a growing up story rather than, you know, just kind of a small, funny, punny punny game. So I'm really excited about it, and in particular to have a whole game that's really dedicated essentially to a queer romance and a queer growing up story. But yeah, it does set itself apart quite a lot from Video World.
Right. And will all of your games kind of release alongside some kind of EP or album or new music tracks, or is that just wishful thinking?
I don't want to say that every single game would come with a song, or that every single song would come with the game. Well, I think it's just that I like making so much stuff that I always have some little side project on the go, do lots of game jams, have lots of different ideas. So I'm sure I will release stuff that's completely unrelated to music, and I'll release music that's completely unrelated to games. But as a general rule, this kind of main storyline that I'm following in my life, if you will, is kind of going to be centered around releasing, you know, albums that come with video games that extend the world. The album and the music will probably always come first, though, and I'll use that as inspiration for the games.
Yeah, fair enough. So speaking of the album and the music, obviously Video World, the EP, is dropping the same day as Video World, the game. What should people expect out of the EP itself?
Look, really, it's kind of these three songs that all live in this synth pop kind of quasi 80s world. They're all written around the same time and really, really feel like me in 2020. So I guess people can expect for them to feel fun and a little bit dramatic because of the kind of year that we had. But I hope that they kind of find that they connect with it. For me personally, these songs and this sound that I have is the most connected that I've felt to music in, I would say, years. It's taken me a long time to find just a place where I'm like, yes, I love this style. It feels contemporary. It feels fresh, but it still just feels like me and everything that I've experienced in my life. So I hope people get a kind of a smidge of that feeling when they listen to it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think we might wrap up here by actually playing part of your soundtrack. If that's okay with you, Jacob, do you mind if you introduce a song for us?
Yeah, absolutely. That would be great. I would love for you to play a song called Blood Like Wine. This is my favorite, maybe even one of my most favorite songs I've ever written. It was done in collaboration with another Melbourne songwriter. So yeah, enjoy Blood Like Wine.
Walk in the room, everybody wants to know you, wants to have you. Making a scene, you know it's only me that sees you, that really needs you. The line in a song, with my eyes and you're gone. I wanna be your ride or die. So I hold up my hand and you take what you can. I'll give you everything I've got. Dancing on a midnight train, try to kiss you in the rain. Tripping in a moonlit street, try to spin you back to me. So you know I just can't get enough. Lost in a dream, maybe I should have told ya, I could have warned ya. But there's no chance you take a risk on romance when all your plans are falling into line. Like you dream all the time, I wanna be your number one. So I call you again, but you're out with your friends. I'm gonna think of you tonight. You in the rain, tripping in a moonlit street, try to spin you back to me, so you know you're in my blood like wine. You'd have to break my heart a million times before I let you go.
You've been listening to Checkpoint Intimates. If you enjoyed this podcast, please rate and subscribe on iTunes and Stitcher.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.